In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 16, it says, but whenever. When is whenever? Whenever. Whenever. Say whenever. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Oh, my goodness, that is great encouragement to me. There are times when I just can't see what I know the Lord wants me to see. There's a veil between me and what God wants me to see. There are times when I can't hear what the Lord wants me to hear. There's a veil between what the Lord is saying and what I'm able to hear. But I've got a promise from Him today that whenever I turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. Oh my goodness, there are times when our spirit seems dry. Any of you ever go through a spiritually dry season in your life? Any of you go through a time when you can't see what God is revealing? You can't hear what God is saying? You can't even feel what God is doing? I want to tell you, but whenever we return to the Lord, that veil is taken away. I believe somebody today is being dominated by a spirit of rebellion. There's a spirit of rebellion that's just on you, and you don't even want to be rebellious, but you end up doing rebellious things. There's a veil over your spirit. There's a veil over your soul, and that spirit of rebellion is dominating your will, and you're choosing to do things that are rebellious. But here's God's word to you. If you turn to the Lord, that veil will be removed. Man, somebody needs to receive that for themselves today. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at this truth that I've been trying to declare for several months here. And the message is, let the veil down and the praise will go up. But I want you to say this in faith right now. We're about to embark into a great study and a ministry time called Cleansing Stream. And one of the first things you're going to learn tomorrow night that will absolutely lay the foundation for you just being drawn closer to the Lord, being delivered of what you need to be delivered from, being healed from things you need to be healed of, being set free from things that's held you in bondage, is going to be exposed to you, and you're going to have them. And one of the great truths is this. I want you to say this right here. I am a spirit being.
I am a spirit being.
I have a soul.
I live in a body.
Sometimes we don't understand the difference between the spirit, the soul, and the body. And sometimes we look in the mirror and we see this body and we think that's us. And you ever been to the funeral home and they've got the body there in the coffin? And do you ever hear them say this? Don't they look good? Well, that ain't them. They ain't there. They're a spirit being. And they lived in that body.
Yes.
And they have a soul. What is your soul? Your soul is your mind and your emotions. And your will is a part of your soul. Now, because of that, your mind and your emotions partners with your will to get you into all kind of trouble.
Yes.
How many of you ever made a decision? You said, uh-oh, that is not a good decision. Oh, my goodness. I remember one time I got in a fight as a teenager. None of you teenagers ever been in a fight, have you? Please stay out of them. but you know you're in trouble when you hit that guy with your best shot, thinking that you have just cleaned his clock, and he says, you shouldn't have done that. You know it's going to be a bad day when your soul talks you into that. And you do the best you can, and you hit that fella, and he responds by saying, you shouldn't have done that. You know, we got unfinished business here. But sometimes we just get into trouble because we don't know that it's our soul talking and not our spirit talking. And we've got a veil. Well, see, because we're a spirit being, we have to relate to God spirit to spirit. Because we're a spirit being, we have to communicate with God spirit to spirit. Now, when you are raised not knowing about your spirit, then you think that your soul is all in all. And you think that you connect with God just through your mind.
Amen.
You think you connect with God just through your feelings. And your mind and your feelings will make your will say, we don't feel like connecting today. We don't feel like doing this today. But you grow up with all kinds of wrong beliefs. You grow up with all kinds of wrong thinking. And you grow up with all kinds of wrong choices. And when you make wrong choices, you live a life with bad consequences. Amen? Now, whenever a person turns to the Lord, those veils are taken away. Now, because we grow up being dominated by our soul, our mind, our emotions, and our will, we develop false beliefs and we carry false values in our life. We begin to think that because we thought a certain way for all of our life, we were trained this way, we were taught this way, we learned it this way, we think that's the way that it is. But that's soulish thinking. You didn't even have your spirit awakened. You didn't have your spirit alive until you got born again. And when you got born again, if you didn't grow in God's grace, if you didn't grow in the knowledge of Him from your spirit, then your soul just told you how to be religious. And you end up being religious without living out the life of redemption. And redemption is a whole lot better than religious. Amen? Now, once we become aware and once we become familiar with our spirit, we can begin to recognize the difference between being influenced by our soul and being influenced by our spirit. Now, there's three things that I want to share with you today that we need to make sure that we understand from the spirit's perspective, not the soul's perspective. First of all, we've given you this truth. I hope to get through it today. And that is God designates the place for worship. God designates the place for worship. But a person who's dominated by their soul confuses the issue of worship, and that person thinks or feels that worship involves a geographical or a religious place. Now, I want to call your attention to the context of John chapter 4, verse 24. Jesus said, God is what? And all who worship Him must worship Him in what? Now, the context of that verse comes from a conversation Jesus was having with a woman of Samaria as they met each other at Jacob's well. And this woman had been taught through the influence of her culture, the Samaritan culture, that her people could only worship God on a particular mountain. But the Jewish people could only worship people from Jerusalem. And she had believed that worship involved a geographical place. But Jesus says to her something powerful in chapter 4 and verse 21. And because if you've ever witnessed to a person, and their first defense, their first response to you is oftentimes, well, I just don't think much about the church. I just don't get much out of church. You see, immediately their soul is kicked into battleground. Immediately their soul has begun to call upon what their soul, their mind has been trained to think. That they think you're talking about church. They think you're talking about religion. But that's what that woman did. That woman at this well, she said, well, the reason that I don't worship God is because our people say you worship on this mountain, and your people say you worship on that mountain. And so I'm so confused about it, I just don't go to any of them to do that. And Jesus says to her in chapter 4, at verse 21, he says, lady, I want to tell you the hour is coming and now is that that all who worship God will worship Him not on this mountain or in Jerusalem, but will worship Him in spirit and in truthfulness. Oh, my goodness. And when she understood that and she drank of that water of eternal life, then all of a sudden her spirit was awakened and she couldn't get enough of that worship in spirit and truth. And what was the first thing she did? She turned away and she ran back down into town and she said, come, I want to show you somebody that'll tell you everything that you've ever needed to know. Amen. Well, Jesus had another conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, he wasn't confused about the mountain here or the mountain there. He thought that you worship God by keeping rules and regulations. He had kept all the rules and regulations that he could possibly keep, but he knew deep down inside that what was bearing witness with him wasn't lining up with what Jesus was teaching and Jesus was doing. And so you know what this ruler of the teacher of the Pharisees, the head teacher of all of the Pharisees, he comes to Jesus at nighttime. Oh, you know he wasn't ready for prime time Jesus. He wanted nighttime Jesus. Just in case, I don't want anybody to know that I'm not doing so well keeping the rules and regulations. It's not working for me. And so he goes, and as soon as he walks into Jesus' presence, Jesus, the Spirit reveals to Jesus' Spirit what his issue is. Oh, my goodness, you need to watch out for that too, because God will do that on you. God will just reveal spirit to spirit what needs to be said to you in a given situation. So as soon as he walked into the presence of Jesus, Jesus said, Nick, I got a word for you today. What? You must be born again. I mean, that's the first thing out of Jesus' mouth. Nicodemus came there wanting to know why the rules and the regulations aren't working for him. And the first thing he did is walk into the presence of Jesus. You read that in John chapter 3. Jesus said, Nick, you got to be born again. And then immediately his soul kicks into action. His religious trained mind, his religious schooled emotions said, how in the world can a man be born again when he's old? Can he crawl back up into his mother's womb and be born physically the second time? You see, he could only think in the natural. The only thing that he could associate being born again with was crawling back up into your mother's womb and being born naturally again. And Jesus said to him those great truths, that which is born of the flesh, Nick, is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So what happened to Nicodemus? What happened to the woman at the well? They got born again by the Spirit. That's what has to happen to every single one of us. And when your spirit gets born again, when your spirit gets regenerated, when your spirit gets made alive, then that's the place God said, I'm going to worship with you. That's the place where God says, I'm designated from now until I take you out of that body that you live in, we're going to worship together. Oh, my goodness. And all who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truthfulness. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. What a great exchange that is. Oh, my goodness. You'll trade all of the religious rules. You trade all of the religion. You trade all of the rule-keeping in for a relationship with God that's based on spirit. And when what happens when you get born again is the Spirit comes to live in your spirit. And there is a mingling. There is a mingling of the Spirit with your spirit, so that those two spirits become one. And oh my goodness, the fellowship that takes place. Oh my goodness, the sweet intimacy that occurs. Oh my goodness, then you can hear his voice and you can experience his presence. And it's not just a song you sing. It's not just a ritual you go through. Oh my goodness, it's life flowing. It is life giving. And out of your innermost being will flow those rivers of living waters. You see, God is the issue of the universe. And God made three crucial things for him as a part of the universe. Zechariah says, God stretched forth the what? God laid the foundation of the what? And the third crucial thing is, God formed the spirit of man where? Within him. Now think about it. God stretched forth the heavens for the earth. And God created the earth for man. But God created the spirit for God. Oh my goodness. Do you see how important your spirit is? God gave you a human spirit. But that human spirit was an organ that was dead at your birth. And there comes a time when you understand that you must be born again. There comes a time when you understand that worship doesn't involve a geographical place, but it's a spiritual place that's on the inside. And in order for you to ever worship God in spirit, your spirit has to be made alive. And when your spirit is made alive, out of your innermost being will flow the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Give Him praise in thanksgiving in the house today. Oh, God designates the place for worship. And you can go to every geographical place you want to go to, but you'll never worship God until your spirit is alive. And when your spirit is alive, wherever you go is a worship place. Because worship is an inside job. Worship is an inside job, and when you worship God inside, it cannot help to make its way to the outside. Hallelujah. And we're going to tell you about that in just a minute. Oh, God designates the place for worship. Have you allowed God to bring that place alive for you? Have you allowed God to quicken your spirit, to make you alive? You know, He does it by grace. He does it by grace. You can't keep a rule. You can't keep enough rules to awaken your dead spirit. You can't follow enough religious regulations to awaken your dead spirit. You see, that's a work of God's grace. That's a work of God's power. And God created the universe in order to put you in it. And inside you, God put His Spirit so He could be there. Amen. Oh, my goodness. And He wants to come in, and He wants to occupy that which He created just for Him. Oh, say, God has designated the place for worship. And it is my spirit with His Spirit in Jesus' name. Now, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Amen. Oh, my goodness. If you've never turned to the Lord in redemption, if you turn to Him today, He will not only remove the veil, but He will awaken your spirit to life. Amen? Amen. You were born dead in your trespasses and sins, but God has made it alive in Christ Jesus. Amen. The good news of the gospel is what God uses to ignite the life-sustaining system of your organ. That Jesus is God who died on the cross for your sins. He laid there for 3 days and three nights. He got up on the third day, and the power of the resurrection guaranteed that the covering for your sin was sufficient to satisfy the holy demands of God. And God said, I did all that just so I could get inside of you and worship with you in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Give Him praise for the place that God designates. Oh, my goodness. But it gets better. It gets better and better. Oh, my goodness. That's enough good news to last a lifetime right there. But there's more to this good news. God not only designates the place for worship, but look at this next truth that we need to learn to walk in every day of our life. God distributes the power for our warfare. God distributes the power for our warfare. Oh, my goodness. Look at what God promises in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit has done what? Come upon you. Now, we need this power because we experience warfare with three persons. There are three persons that we do warfare with. And the first one is our soul. Your soul is always going to do warfare with God's Spirit. Your soul is me, myself, and I. All right? Your soul is yourself. And you do warfare with yourself. You've done warfare with yourself just to get here today. How many of you know about the warfare of yourself just to get here today? And I want to tell you, I didn't like fighting this warfare every single Sunday when I got saved. And so you know what I decided to do? I said, I'm going to go ahead and win this warfare. I'm going to slay this giant. I'm going to defeat this enemy right now. What my wife and I did when I first got saved and then she got saved is we decided that going to church wasn't an option. It was mandatory. You know, if going to church was an option, guess what? You always had warfare over those options. How many of you know, and Marie can document this for you, one part of that warfare that we had to go through is one of our three kids always got sick on Sunday morning. Always. And oh my goodness, you know, one Sunday, you know, that might just be a sickness. Two Sundays, that might be an epidemic. But three Sundays and four Sundays and five Sundays, There's something else going on. So what did we do? We said, we're taking the sick baby to church. And that's always keeping one of us out of church, and that's just not going to work. And so there was a warfare going on. And guess what? When we overcame that, now it didn't make sense to her mind. Not mama's mind. We can't take that sick baby out like that. But before we even knew about the spirit and the soul, we knew there was a warfare going on, and we're taking the sick baby to church. And so we took the sick baby to church, and guess what? We took the sick baby to church the next week, and guess what? Then the devil quit making the baby sick. And then you win that battle. And another thing that we had to learn that we needed some more power to win this warfare with is Marie and I, we decided early on after we both got saved that divorce wasn't an option for us. Death maybe, but divorce not. If the only way we can get out of this death do us part, one of us got to go. No. No. But divorce wasn't an option. And so if divorce is not an option, why don't we just work at this thing called marriage so that we don't always thinking about divorce? Because if divorce is an option for you, guess what? Your soul is going to present that option to you. You know, you ought to leave that rascal. You know, you ought to just step out. You know, there, look at that fine-looking thing over there. Or look at that. And you're always in a warfare with that. But oh, no. You come back and you got to do that. But you got to have power to win this warfare. And the first person that you do warfare with is your own soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will. But then you've got to do warfare with your flesh. Now your flesh, I'm going to do a whole teaching on the flesh. This is powerful truth that you'll understand about that flesh. You know your flesh is evil? You know, who else is evil? Satan is evil. You know your flesh is sin. Who else is the epitome of sin? Satan. And your soul, your flesh is death. And Satan is death. So what happened to Adam and Eve when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of evil is the devil got into their flesh. And it became corrupt. It became evil. It became sin. And it became a mortal enemy of God. Amen. And your flesh will do battle against you. And you've got to learn how to do that. And you can't cast enough demons out of your flesh. That flesh can't even be discipled. You got to crucify flesh. There's only one victory over flesh, and that's crucifixion. That's why Paul said, "For I am crucified with Christ." My flesh is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I continue to live. But it's really not me living. It's Christ living in me. Where is Christ living in me? He's living in my spirit. And when I remove the veil from my spirit, then I win the battle over my soul. I win the battle over my flesh. And guess what? I win the battle over the devil. And here's what Jesus said. I'm going away. I'm coming back in the presence, in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get inside of you, but I'm going to bring something with me when I come. I'm going to bring power with me, and you're going to receive that power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Can somebody say amen? And he says it again in 49, Luke 24, 40. Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. What's the promise of the Father? You're going to get power when you get me, because he's not going to let his reputation be ruined. He's not going to let his authority be challenged. He's not going to let his victory be brought into dispute. He's not going to let his kingdom be without the sufficient power. And so he said, I'm going to bring my power upon you, and you're going to wear it like a garment. When you get my presence, when you get me in your spirit, when you get your spirit mingled with my spirit, when Christ is exalted in you, when you've crucified your flesh, when you have sanctified and transformed your soul, then you're going to be walking in this power. And when I come, I'm going to dump a mother load of omnipotence on you, and you are going to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so you're going to wear this power. You're going to wear this power like a garment. And he said, you wait until you get it. Now, what did he do? In John chapter 20, verse 22, a mysterious thing Jesus did. He's already told them this promise. You're gonna get clothed. You're going to get covered like a garment with power and the presence of God. And then John chapter 20, verse 22, he had his disciples up in that room. And look at what he did. And when Jesus said this, Now, what in the world does your mind think about that? Oh, my goodness. You see, your soul don't want none of that. Your mind and your emotions don't want nobody breathing in your face. What kind of breath did Jesus have? He had holy breath. He breathed on them. And what did he say? Receive the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. He has told them in Luke 24, 49, I'm going to send forth the promise of my Father where? Upon you. You see, we've got two things, two aspects to this power. There's an inside aspect and there's an outside aspect. And the only way you're ever going to walk continuously with the outside influence of power is to receive the inside influence of the power. Here Jesus was. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. You see, what Jesus was doing is he was getting the Holy Spirit in their spirit, inside their spirit. And then once you have the Holy Spirit inside your spirit, then God's going to send the Holy Spirit upon you as well. And now you wear the garment inside and you wear the garment outside and you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. What you do is you receive Christ, the life-giving Spirit, into your spirit. Amen. So that your spirit and his spirit become mingled as one spirit. And when you read the book of Romans and you read different places, because this mingling of the spirit is so united and so unified, sometimes the translators even get confused about whether, is he talking about the Holy Spirit or is he talking about the human spirit? And you know what? The answer is yes. Because when you receive this power, your spirit gets so mingled with the Holy Spirit that they become one. And the power of God is released from you. Amen? Look at 1 Corinthians 6:17. He who is joined to who? Is what? With who? Oh, my goodness. Have you received the power that God distributes for your warfare? If you're constantly being tripped up by your soulish thinking, you need the power. If you're constantly being enticed and seduced by your flesh, you need this power. If you're constantly living with dominance and influence from your soul rather than your spirit, you need this power. Who in the world needs this power? I need this power. You need this power. And oh my goodness, we need to be endued and clothed with this power. And there comes a time after you've been born again that God imparts this power, this baptism into your spirit and onto you that you can walk in. Amen? Oh, God distributes the power for our warfare. Can somebody say amen? Now I want you to look at the two organs that we have and we need to be aware of is the Holy Spirit is that inward organ and the body is the outward organ. Now, the body is called in the Scripture a body of sin. Now, your body contacts the outside world, and your body is contacted by the outside world through your five senses. What are your five senses? School starts this next week, but let's go ahead and begin early right now. What's one of your senses? Sight. Oh, my goodness, have you ever seen things that cause your body to want things? I know we're in church, but you don't have to act like you're going to lie. No, I've never seen anything. No. When your body senses something through the sight that you see, you know, I wrote down in my margin one time of my study Bible, I was on an airplane, and somebody had looked at that, and they said, what does that mean? And, you know, it's Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, then you've committed adultery in your heart. And how do you know if you've looked upon a woman commit adultery in your heart? I wrote in my Bible out there, if you say, I would if I could, you've committed adultery in your heart. And Jesus said, that look, where does that look come from? It comes from one of your senses. And God, and your body is a body of sin. And your body connects with, communicates with, receives communication from the outside world. God gave you that body so you could relate to the outside world. But when Adam sinned, he received the flesh. It became muted and transmuted and all sorts of evil with it, and it became a mortal enemy of your spirit from that time. And so you need this power on the outside. What's another sense that you have that your body operates with? Hearing. Oh my goodness, have you ever heard anything that caused your soul to react and respond in a certain way? What's another thing? Seeing, you got hearing. Feeling and smelling and tasting. Oh my goodness, all of those things have to be endued with power in order for you not to succumb to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the world and the pride of life. Amen? Amen. So if you want to be one with the Lord, you got to be joined to the Lord. But that other organ that you have is your spirit, and it's an inside job. And it operates with your conscience, and it carries with it fellowship, and you have a connection with it. And here's the thing that God has done with your spirit. He has declared your spirit off limits to your soul and to your body, because your spirit is never going to be contaminated. It is never going to become unholy. It is never going to be enticed with anything that's defiling at all. And so what happens is your soul and your body does warfare, and your spirit becomes veiled from your soul and by your soul and by your body if you're not exercising your spirit. Yes. And you've got to have power, and God distributes the power for whatever warfare you're going to be engaged in. If it's warfare with a soul, if it's warfare with the flesh, if it's warfare with the devil, if it's warfare with the world, God has power that He wants to impart upon you. And guess what? When God, after you get saved, after you get the power of God unto salvation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then that same power that awakened your spirit unto God and gave you the capacity to connect with God and to fellowship with God is released upon you when you get baptized with the Spirit. And when you get baptized with the Spirit, then your internal organ is baptized with the power of God, and your external organ is baptized with the power of God. And so now this body is presented to God as a living sacrifice. And the senses that you have are used as radar detectors. That you be aware of this. You be warned against this. You stay away from that. And your soul gets transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so now you got the power of your spirit, the power of your soul, and the power of your body marching together in victory unto Jesus. God designates the place for worship. It's an inside place. God distributes the power for your warfare. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit that comes upon you. But oh, look at this third glorious truth that we see here. God then delivers the persuasion for His witness. God delivers the persuasion for His witness. And number three says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, says the Spirit Himself does what? Testifies with our spirit that we are what? You know, people that struggle with the assurance of salvation are trying to get their mind and trying to get their heart to testify to something that only the Spirit can testify to. Now, there are some people that are just analytical, and that is wonderful, and that's grace, and that's the way that you're uniquely wired. But the persuasion that God delivers is greater than your mind will ever comprehend. It's greater than your heart will ever endorse. The testimony, the witness that God gives is that internal witness of His Spirit testifying with your spirit that, yes, you belong to me. And then your spirit testifies to your soul. And your spirit and your soul will testify to your body. And so when your spirit is in charge of your soul and your spirit and soul is in charge of your body, you're not going to let your body do things that it shouldn't do. Your soul isn't going to do things that your spirit says shouldn't do. But it is that internal witness of the spirit with your spirit that you are a child of God. Amen? That is better than any outward witness that you'll ever have. You know, I could tell you all day long that I believe you're saved. But until you get that internal witness of the Spirit, you'll never be thoroughly convinced. But once you get that witness of the Spirit, once the baptism of the Spirit takes place, once that mingling of the Spirit has occurred, and oh my goodness, then your awakened spirit and the Holy Spirit, the human spirit and the Holy Spirit get together and they mix and mingle in life and they have a joy party in there and they have a worship service in there. Oh my goodness, everything inside of you will rise up and stand up and exalt and praise the Lord. And oh my goodness, out of your river, out of your innermost being begin flowing things that you didn't know was in there, and you'll never be convinced by anything or anyone that you're not a child of God. Look at what he says. I'm telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. And look at what he says. My what? My conscience testifies with me in whom? In the Holy Spirit. You see, God puts your conscience in your spirit. Now, Adam, he had the conscience, but he didn't need it. It wasn't activated until he sinned. And because his spirit died, a part of that, a dimension of that, had to speak to him. Now, let me tell you about your conscience. Let me tell you about your conscience. Your conscience will tell you, because it comes out of your spirit, that you've done wrong. It'll let you know that that's the wrong thing and that you aren't guilty for that. But let me talk to you about shame. Shame doesn't come from your spirit. Shame doesn't come from your conscience. Shame comes from your soul. And your conscience will tell you, don't do that. Your conscience tell you, you did that, now you're guilty for that, you need to own that. But shame wants to come in there and wants to take over from guilt. Guilt and shame are totally different. There are some people that once they have done something and their conscience has accused them, the Holy Spirit has tried to convict them, but they pay more attention to their soul than they do to their conscience. And the soul says, oh, you're a bad person. You see, shame says that you are a bad person. Guilt says you did a bad thing. There's a difference between doing a bad thing and being a bad person. And I'm talking to somebody today that shame has convinced you you're a bad person. And what you did has become your identity. You think you are what you did. I want to tell you, I praise God right now that I am not what I have done. You are not what you have done. You did what you did, but that's not who you are. You are a spirit being. You have a soul and you live in a body and you are a child of God, and His Spirit will testify with your spirit that you are a child of God, and your conscience will bear witness that, yes, this is true. He is twice born. She is twice born, living in a once born world. And you need to get rid of the guilt and cast out the shame. Anybody living with a spirit of shame on them, that is not from God. And you need to get rid of that enemy and that foreign invader. Look at what else he says in 2 Corinthians 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the what? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit be where? All right, now, what you get when you get born again is you get a spirit that comes alive. When your spirit is made alive, the Holy Spirit comes into your spirit and mingles with your spirit. When the power of God's come upon you, when the Spirit of God's come upon you, and the Spirit of God is inside of you, then you've got your conscience telling the truth that you are a child of God. You've got your spirit telling the truth that you are a child of God, and now you're enjoying something called fellowship. You and Jesus are together on this thing, and oh my goodness, that's we're on the inside of you. There is worship taking place. There is joy taking place. There is courage arising. There is purity taking place. There's transformation occurring. Your mind is being renewed. Your body is being presented to the Lord as a living sacrifice, and you are enjoying with the Holy Spirit because Jesus is with you in the Spirit. Amen. Look at Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Holy Spirit also helps our what? For we do not know how to what? Now let me ask you, has anybody here got anything you don't know how to pray about it? If you got children, parents, if you got children, you got things you don't know. I don't know how to pray for this one. I don't know how to pray for them. I don't know how to pray for me. And you need the fellowship of the Spirit. You need the witness of the Spirit. You need this unique, dynamic, personal relationship between you and the Holy Spirit to know how to do that. Because your soul's saying, what you ought to do, just kill them right now. Just kill them. Just take them out of this world. You brought them in, you can take them out. you need to do that. But there are other matters that you don't even know how to pray for. I don't even know how to pray for this. I don't know how to do that. Well, now you see, you've got the Holy Spirit, when your spirit is alive, then you've got your conscience, you've got fellowship, and now God gives you this wonderful dimension of prayer, of communing with Him. But listen to this. Your prayer can't originate with your mind. Your mind don't know how to connect with God. Your spirit knows how to connect with God. Your spirit has to convince your mind that they're one in this together, and your mind has to agree to cooperate with the Spirit. Yes. Then your mind can know how to do this. Let's look at the next passage of Scripture up there, if we can. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in a tongue, my what prays? Spirit. My spirit prays. You see, there are times when you don't know how to pray as you should, and your mind is unfruitful. Amen. Your mind doesn't know what the Spirit's praying. Amen. What your Spirit's saying to the Holy Spirit. What the Holy Spirit's saying to your spirit. The mind doesn't know that alone. It has to be revealed to your mind. And it comes, the revelation comes through your spirit. Amen. So look at what Paul says. What's the outcome then? I will pray with what? Spirit. And I will what? Pray with the mind also. You have to understand how to use both. Letting your spirit pray and letting your mind pray. And if there's ever a conflict, go with the spirit prayer, not with the mind prayer. Amen? Hey, when God gives you a dream, don't let your mind interpret that dream to you. Your mind didn't reveal that dream. Your spirit revealed that dream. Your mind will want to tell you, oh, it means this, it means that. And it'll sound pretty, but it won't be challenging. Let your spirit interpret your dream. And let your mind agree with the spirit. Don't let your mind do that. Now, I'm not downplaying your mind. It's just until your mind is renewed. Until your mind is renewed, it can't be trusted as it's being in cooperation with the spirit. Amen. And look at what he says. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the mind also. And look at this next beautiful gift. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the mind also. Oh my goodness, it's a beautiful thing when God gifts you and anoints you with that power that he's delivered to you to sing in the spirit and to sing with the mind. You know, there are times, I don't know if you pick up on it, your ears are more musically trained than mine, but in the spirit, I pick up things that I can't. Pastor David sings in the spirit. You know, Yvette is singing in the spirit. And it's when the spirit just takes over and begins to sing through you what the Lord wants to hear. And don't be afraid of praying in the spirit. Don't be afraid of praying with the mind. Don't be afraid of praying, singing in the spirit. Don't be afraid of singing in the with a mind. You see, when you focus on gifts, gifts divide. But when you focus on the Spirit, Spirit unites. And that's what happens immediately when somebody begins operating in the Spirit. That old soulless thinking out there, that old religious Pharisee, oh my goodness, what's this leading to? You know, they're talking in tongues, or they're singing in tongues. Oh my goodness! You see, the soul gets afraid of that because the mind doesn't understand that. Now look at 1 Corinthians 2:9. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who what? For to us, who's us? God did something. What did God do? God revealed. God revealed all that God has what? Prepared for those who love Him. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Do you know in your daily life, every day you wake up, God's prepared some things for you. Every day of your life, God has prepared some things for you. Your mind has not thought of it. Your ear has not heard of it. It's not even entered into your heart. But God's prepared it. And that's why you need to connect with God, spirit to spirit, because you don't want to go through a day with unclaimed blessings. Amen. You know, they've got websites now. People that's got money that they don't know they've got in virtually every state of the United States. They used to live somewhere. Maybe they inherited something, you know, or maybe an insurance claim came, they couldn't find them, and it gets deposited in there. And you can go to these websites and type in your name, and they'll tell you whether you got money in this state or that state or this place or that place. Well, God's got a similar thing. You got blessings. You got things God prepared for you, and we don't know how to access them. And you'll access them through the Spirit. But it's never entered your mind. It's never entered into your heart. It's never been heard by your ear. But God's prepared it for you. And if you will connect with Him in your spirit, if you will fellowship with Him in spirit, if you will worship Him in spirit, He will reveal them to you. Amen? Yes. Amen. Look at the next thing. Now, John 7:37 says, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to who? And do what? Drink. You see, this whole thing about the Christian life is more about eating and drinking than you realize. It's more about eating and drinking than you realize. And Jesus wants you drinking the right things and eating the right things. Amen. He wants you drinking Him. He wants you eating Him. Yes. That's what we do when we take communion. When we take communion, we eat the Lord. And that's what you do when you pray in the Spirit, is you drink in the Lord. If you get thirsty, you come and say, Lord, I'm thirsty. And the Lord says, all right, you thirsty? Then we're going to give you something to drink. And what happens? From he who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being will begin flowing what? Rivers of what? Living waters. Oh, my goodness. This is what happens when God distributes the power. This is what happens when God baptizes your spirit. That out of your innermost being, where's your innermost being? It's in your spirit. What's in your spirit? Holy Spirit's in your spirit. Amen. You know, Christ is in your spirit. The Holy Spirit and Christ, they are one. They're in you. And then when you get thirsty and you drink of the Lord, then God says, all right, we've got an artesian well here. It's time to spew. It's time to go. And all of a sudden out of you begins to flow those rivers of living water. The Holy Spirit begins to flow out of you. And as the Holy Spirit begins to flow out of you, you begin to walk in the anointing. And as you're walking in the anointing, every step you take, you are taking a ministry step. You're taking a miracle step. You're taking a manifestation step. And wherever you go, people are going to see, what is that flowing out of them? That is nothing other than the Holy Spirit. That's nothing more than God. He is flowing out of them. And people want to know what you know. People want to go where you've been. People want to have what you have. And you get to recommend Jesus to them. Amen? Because remember, God created the heavens, and God created the earth, and God created the Spirit within man, because within the Spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. And the lamp of the Lord is in your spirit, and your spirit needs oil. And the oil is the Holy Spirit. And when the lamp of the Lord is there, and Christ is your life-giving Spirit, then out of your innermost being flows those rivers of living water. Proverbs 20:27 says it. The spirit of man is the what? The lamp of the Lord. That's where the Lord wants to shine. And in order for the Lord to shine, it's got to have oil. And the only way that you can have the oil is for God to distribute the power upon you. And when God distributes the power upon you, then He delivers the persuasion for your witness. And every step you take is out of you is flowing the oil of the Holy Spirit. Out of you is flowing the grace of God. Out of you is flowing the love of Jesus. Out of you is flowing the power of the Holy Spirit. And out of you is flowing the opportunity to bring people into the kingdom of God. Amen. The lamp of the Lord, the spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord, and it searches the innermost parts of his being.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 6:17, he who's joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. Is this making sense to anybody? 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, the Lord is the spirit. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17, who's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Christ is in you. He's the hope of glory. It's no longer I, but Christ living in me. The Lord be with your spirit. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit. The Holy Spirit's mingled my human spirit. And when I walk according to the Spirit, when I walk with a mingled spirit, then whenever we turn to the Lord, the veil is removed. And when the veil is removed, the praise goes up. And when the praise goes up, the glory comes down. And when the glory comes down, then the sinners are converted. And when the sinners are converted, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. See, that's a whole different perspective than trying to introduce our children to rules and regulations in religion. We need to introduce to our children the dynamic relationship of personal intimacy, walking in the flow of the Spirit as a child of God. Oh, my goodness. And listen to this. Your soul will try to convince you to be religious. And to be religious means to do good. And to be religious means to do better, to try harder, and to do more. But I want to tell you, that is not what Christianity is all about. God's not interested in you doing better. He's not interested in you trying harder. He's wanting you to die to self. He's wanting you to be mingled with Him. He's wanting you to eat of Him and to taste of Him and to know that He is good. And He's wanting to be mingled with your spirit. And He's wanting to be the lamp of your spirit. And He's wanting to have the oil of the Spirit on you. And He's wanting you to walk in the freedom that comes with a spirit being Lord. Yes, amen. Amen. Oh my goodness. God will deliver the persuasion for your witness.
Yes.
And that's why Peter says it this way. Every person ought to be ready to give an answer to every person who asks them the reason for the hope that is within you.
Yes.
You see, the soul wants to come up with an evangelism program. But Jesus wants us to walk in a spirit-filled relationship.
Yes, right.
And I want to tell you, when you're walking in the anointing, people want to know, what are you drinking? What are you eating?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm eating Jesus and I'm drinking Jesus.
Yes.
And out of my innermost being is flowing this river of living water, and it's available to you as well. I want to tell you, when somebody gets attracted, when somebody gets attracted to you because of the Spirit in you and the Spirit flowing out of you, it's easy to convince them that the Lord is good. It's easy to convince them to change kingdoms, to come out of the kingdom of Satan and enter into the kingdom of God, because the power of God will become in them and will come upon them. Amen? Let me ask you this in closing. Do you have that place that God's designated for worship inside of you? Has it been made alive by the grace of God? If you don't have that place inside, then no place you go outside will ever satisfy. But if you ever get that place inside, then oh my goodness, worship will take on a whole new dimension for you and a whole new satisfaction for you. Once you get that place that God designates inside, your spirit awakened to His Spirit, then God's going to distribute power for the warfare that you face. And once you have the power for warfare, then God's going to deliver the persuasion for your witness. You'll never wonder again whether you're a child of God. Your spirit will be testified to by God's spirit. You belong to me.
Amen.
God will give you a gift. God will give you a grace that will confirm what your spirit is being told by the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.